name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Welcome to the Feast of Corpus Christi. Especially for Christi, Corpus Christi, the Feast of the Holy Body of Christ.
Well, you can really soon.
The job of this feast, the job of this feast, is to have us express our absolute unabashed gratitude for the institution and the gift of the Holy Communion, the gift of Eucharist. And the church assigns this feast day to fall on the first Thursday after Trinity Sunday, the past Thursday. And like many churches, we transfer today so that more of us can enjoy the commemorate. So you might say, wait a minute, there's another Thursday that commemorates the institution of the Lord's Supper, the gift of the Holy Spirit, Monday Thursday. That is today's example to the feast. And that's true, but understandably, taking place in the midst of Holy Week with the theme of our Lord's passion and death, and the very meaning of this life, the celebratory nature of the gift of the Eucharist is suppressed on Monday Thursday. And so the church saw it reasonable to have a sister feast, another Thursday, where we could gather to offer thanksgiving, the gift, the miracle of Jesus, with unabashed unity and singing and love. And that's today. And what makes this feast day so sweet, and I think so palpable in meaning, is that it's not just based on theology and doctrine, which is very important. We're called to love God with our minds, to think theologically. But it's also based upon a story of a human being. A young woman by the name of Juliana, who championed the feast of Corpus Christi. Born in 1192, the wreck of her parents at the age of 5, Juliana was placed in an Augustinian convent to be raised. And that convent is what the Christian Jews. She was raised in love and encouragement. There was no doubt that Juliana took the habit to be a nun, into the religious life, as we say, as a very young woman. And she was expected to live a life of piety, quietness, and obscurity. But it was not to be for Juliana. At a very young age, she began to have visions. One vision she had with her all the days of her life. And at first, it perplexed her, it disturbed her, it caused her fear. Only in time, when she came to know its meaning, did it give her the very purpose of her life and the joy of her heart. The vision is this, of the great moon, shining brightly into the night, with the most beautiful brightness and light she'd ever seen, but always in her vision was a blotch. There was a black spot in the sphere of the moon. What does that mean? And after all many, many years, she came to have the revelation of what the vision meant. The moon and the light and all the brightness that the moon represented, all the feasts of the church year, the liturgical year, the feast of our Lord Jesus, the feast of the saints, the principal feast, the major feast, the lesser feast, all these feasts that we attend throughout the year in the routine of our lives, year after year, that just form us like water on the rock through the year. But there was a feast of remission, and she came to realize it was the feast of Corpus Christi. So it was her life's passion, her life's work to establish, to encourage the feast of Corpus Christi officially in the church. And Juliana would have been what we call today, most likely, an emperor. She kept her heart close to the chest. And she shared this intimate vision with very few people, confessor. And then in the area of Rier, the recent and now modern day Belgium, she shared it with James Pantaleon, the archdeacon of Rier, who had an admiration for Juliana, and for her, and for her spirit, and for her vision. And one moral of the story might come to the story is, your archdeacon today might become your pope tomorrow. And in 1251, he became Urban IV. And he remembered the vision of Juliana. He remembered her love for Jesus. He remembered her passion for the status of the Corpus Christi. And in 1264, it was established as a principal piece of the church, and Thomas Aquinas, the great theologian, was commissioned to write the liturgy. But sadly, it was 6 years after Juliana died. She never lived to see the official establishment. But my brothers and sisters, the fellows, the summer teachers that we celebrate today had her prayers and her passion, her love with them. And it was all of them. And it's what makes this scene so very special. So I have 2 points for the sermon. The first one comes from Juliana. We keep company with the Eucharist the day we're baptized with the hour of God. And we come to it, and that was always a mystery. We come to comprehend it, to appreciate it, yes, to study, contemplation, to practice. But also, we come to know it and love it, and enjoy it. And that's one reason why I'm sad that First Communion aren't what they used to be. It used to be that a boy or an adult, girl, adult, child had First Communion. It's a big thing. People gathered and touched up and were reception. It was so grateful, it was joy. Because of the gift of you. Suppose and sisters, you could hear, I'm invited, if you know someone about to be baptized, about to receive the First Communion, go and encourage them. I remember I was 11 years old. My First Communion was my confirmation in the Episcopal Church at that time. And I just remember the love. The love my Episcopal teacher gave me a little bookmark with the Ten Commandments. Oh, I studied for so many years. And the people could just refer me. And part of the reason I lost the whole communion today, because the love I received at my First Communion. So yes, we study it, we contemplate the doctrine, oh yes. But let's enjoy it. And then secondly and lastly, let's use this feast of Corpus Christi to recommit ourselves to the receiving of Holy Communion. I use this illustration, I'm sure, too much. It's my favorite, so I'll use it again. And that is that when we come to Mass, we discipline our feet to come to the altar, and always our souls and our hearts follow our feet. Discipline your feet, and the rest will follow. And the interesting thing is that every week after week, is this not true? That when our feet come to the altar rail, sometimes our faith comes as strong, it's fortified, it can face the world. Other times it's numb, sometimes we think it's dead. But unlike our emotions, our souls are forced, and there's always something, the miracle of you, no matter what we feel from time to time. So let us commit ourselves to bring our feet to the Eucharist. How beautiful it is. A canon of this size is told me the first churches to be opened, this being the very first, after the pandemic, was Anglo-Catholic churches. Why? They had a high view of Eucharist. They had a high love of the Holy Communion. And let us never take it for granted and receive it as much as we can and devote ourselves. And then in time, like water flowing on the rock, we're shaped and formed until the day we die. And whatever's left over, whatever growth will be when we die, the blood and the cross, the love of Jesus, and so forth. And the growth continues. And that's what we're called to do in this. So blessed be Juliana there, and blessed be the gift and miracle of holiness.